Hare Krishna. I'm going to speak briefly on a subject that Radha Govinda Prabhu from Romania asked me to talk about. And it's a phrase that I used some time back in one of the podcasts, namely blind justice and foolish mercy, that Krishna consciousness is about neither of these. It's actually instead about wise justice and proper or balanced with proper mercy. It's not an easy topic, not an easy subject matter, but certainly one that's worthy of meditation for all devotees, because whether we are simply exercising a certain authority or influence within the family circle, or a center, a community, a temple, a country, or the International Society for Krishna Consciousness globally, these two issues in decision-making become greater realities as we try to actually establish what Srila Prabhupada wanted, which is Varnashram. And Varnashram, Varna and Ashram, whether we look in Srimad Bhagavatam, but to speak of even in more detail, Mahabharat, we see that both of these are so intricately involved with rules, regulations, the consequences of contravening these rules and regulations, the benefits of following them. It's a very elaborate system of justice, and yet it's not a justice that's devoid of mercy. But let me start off by talking about what I conceive of as being blind justice. I think that justice that is devoid of mercy is blind. What is the purpose of applying justice, which means to either reward or punish, as the case may be? And generally we think of it in terms of punishing. Is that we punish not only for the purpose of simply punishing someone. That's blind. We punish. It is something for the greater society to see that there are consequences of activities. People cannot just do whatever they want. However, blind justice also means that we want people not to simply regret that they've been caught at performing some illegal or illicit act, but we want to see that they have a change in heart. So justice should bring about a change in heart of a person, and if a change in heart is already there, then that should be taken into account when applying justice. Justice should not be blind to the condition of society, to the condition of the perpetrator. Thus, it shouldn't be devoid of mercy. Justice shouldn't be excessive, but rather it should be balanced. And these points, which I just mentioned earlier, they should help about keeping a certain degree of balance. Justice also is blind if it ignores higher principles. Arjuna argues in the beginning of the Gita that the consequence of the war is that the wives of the fallen soldiers will be exploited. Krishna says, what's new? That's the risk of war, but still, war is sometimes necessary, and that becomes a higher principle than the natural or immediate consequence of that war. So there are different strata or different levels of truth and justice, and devotees have to know which apply at which times and circumstances. And sometimes applying lower principles of justice that ignore higher ones falls into the category of blind justice. A bad decision is bad justice. Bad decision comes from inexperienced judge or inexperienced decision maker, which is not based on precedent or contravenes good precedent, which ignores law books, which doesn't have all the facts or evidence present at hand, which wasn't well thought out, not enough time was given, all falls into the category of blind justice. And then, of course, when someone is really inexperienced, which is always a risk, but is even more so, for instance, in our society. We didn't join this movement to become pioneers in social development, to become judges, to become GBC members, temple presidents, who are constantly having to deal with the positive or negative consequences of certain activities. It's inevitable that there's a certain level of inexpertise, and that will be eradicated in time by Krishna consciousness, and particularly gaining experience. All right, the other thing is, what is foolish mercy? One point which certainly could be argued and discussed in more depth is that if mercy really is completely oblivious of the consequences of the mercy, then it's foolish. Although mercy by definition should be avoidikiya pratiyata, it's unmotivated. It doesn't take other judicial factors into consideration, but still the consequence of the mercy should be taken into account, especially as it affects other living entities, other people. Let me just use the example that we discussed the other day about Ashwatthama, and I'm not going to argue the pros and cons here, but it's something that could be argued about and is worthwhile for meditation. Draupadi Devi wanted to exercise mercy. Don't make Ashwatthama's mother suffer the way I suffered. Krishna initially said that the highest or the proper thing to do was to kill Ashwatthama. Still, what ended up happening was a compromise, and the jewel on his head was cut off. So he was killed and not killed, which was, we could say, a platonic type of killing. But what was the consequence of that mercy? The consequence was that the same man, Ashwatthama, wanted to kill Maharaj Parikit, tried to kill Maharaj Parikit, as he was present in the womb of his mother, Uttara. And it was only Krishna's personal intervention that was able to actually save him. Even the Pandavas couldn't save Maharaj Parikit. So here's an issue that's worth arguing. Was Draupadi's show of mercy proper? Because it didn't take into consideration that person was actually incorrigible, and that he would continue to do the same thing to other women's children as he had done to her own five sons. Foolish mercy also is something that really contravenes major principles of justice. In other words, if giving mercy gives a license to people to commit acts of sin that bring about chaos in the society. In other words, if it's not seen that the mercy itself is part of social interaction, but it's something that undermines it, then that's also foolish. And I would say probably the most clear definition of foolish mercy is giving mercy when you don't have the empowerment to give mercy, when you don't have the stature and qualification to do so. In other words, when you don't have the mercy to give. Mercy is not just forgiving. It's also being in a position to forgive. And an ideal example of that was Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, in many cases, forgave devotees who committed really major sinful activities. However, Srila Prabhupada was the founder acharya of this movement. He had more or less the absolute faith of all the members of the society. Everyone recognized that when Srila Prabhupada said something, Krishna was saying it. If Prabhupada wanted to give mercy, then devotees accept, all right, this was Srila Prabhupada, this was Krishna giving his mercy through Srila Prabhupada. Now, imitating Srila Prabhupada doesn't work. We've seen that the GBC body, with all good intentions, had in the past tried to apply the same dispensation of mercy as Srila Prabhupada, but because they didn't have the same stature in the eyes of the devotees as individuals or even as a body, because they didn't have the same faith, therefore devotees thought that the GBC's so-called forgiveness or dispensation of mercy undermined the principles of justice by which the Krishna consciousness movement should be run, and would just become a precedent for irreligion rather than an inspiration to become religious. So this idea of actually being able to give mercy and being empowered to do so is very easy. We should not mistake mercy with just forgiving someone or letting someone off the hook. It requires empowerment, and otherwise one is subject to this defect of simply giving foolish mercy. All right, now I've sort of spoken about each of these in a Varnashram institution or a society that's meant to implement the social principles of Varnashram, which are full of rules and regulations, and the consequences of of not following them, the benefits of following them. There should be a balance between justice and also mercy. That balance is a very difficult thing to strike. The justice should not be devoid of mercy. The mercy should not be excessive and beyond the sphere of influence and abilities of those who are applying the rules of the society. In Kali Yuga, this is only possible if there's real wisdom. And wisdom will come from Krishna consciousness. It comes from the purification of the heart. The closer we are to Krishna, the more we're also able to know when mercy should be given, when justice should be applied, what the measure of justice is, and how it applies in individual circumstances. There will never be law books that can tell a judge, a person, what to do in every given circumstance, because circumstances vary so much. Intelligence has to be used in the application of the principles of justice. The principles should be there: thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. But there will be so much variations in these that it is impossible for us to escape the consequence that we have to become wise and learned in the Krishna consciousness movement, and that will help us to do justice to the responsibility that's invested in the leaders of society. Actually, just before closing, I forgot one point that I am remembering now about excessive justice as being blind. Once again, I'm not going to argue the issue, but rather I'll just raise it. In Mideastern countries, a woman commits adultery, then the punishment is that she should be buried in sand up to her shoulders and stoned to death. In the West, they consider this to be barbaric, consider it to be excessive justice. Fine, let someone be punished, but there is the actual sentence itself. All right, death is already too high, obviously according to Western standards, already too high of a method of punishment. But being stoned to death is just excessive. It's barbaric. It's not the way we do things anymore in the 21st century. Now, where do we stand here in terms of this balance in the Krishna consciousness movement between mercy, justice, application of the both, and avoiding the excesses of each? Srila Prabhupada, in his last year, in really giving some mercy to after giving mercy to some individual, told devotees that up to now, for the sake of establishing the society, for keeping things moving, I've been very liberal, and I've forgiven many people and given my mercy. He says, but in the future, things cannot continue like that. And if I'm correct, Srila Prabhupada was saying this, particularly in relationship to the GBC body, and if that means GBC body, it means everyone else also. He said, Srila Prabhupada then continued saying that devotees must follow the rules and regulations. If they breach them, then they must suffer the consequences of such a breach. This instruction seems to indicate that Srila Prabhupada wanted the balance in our Krishna consciousness movement to be based on the just application of judicial principles. It should no doubt be tempered with mercy, but a society must be run by laws. It cannot be run by subjectivity, even if that subjectivity is such a wonderful thing as transcendental mercy. Although obviously mercy shouldn't be kept out of the picture. And for us to know, well, what are the principles of justice by which the Krishna consciousness movement works. Obviously, there's the laws that the leadership of the society sets in place, the GBC, there's the GBC law book, there's the transcendental laws we find in Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, as well as we see examples of mercy there, and then most relevant to our lives is Srila Prabhupada's own example, instructions, and knowing the essence of what mercy means, the essence of what justice means, that ultimately these things are meant to bring both individuals and society closer and closer to Krishna in a way that their hearts are purified and by their activities they please the Lord. It's by no means an easy thing to do. And unfortunately, because we didn't join the Krishna consciousness movement to be social reformers, we didn't join to be judges, we didn't join to be leaders of society who have to make decisions over each other, other people's lives, and we're not equipped or trained to do that. Therefore, mistakes have been made, and mistakes will continue to be made, hopefully, as devotees and the society matures. Then we'll know the proper balance of justice and mercy. We'll know how to place the emphasis on justice, and we can avoid blind justice and foolish mercy. Hare Krishna.